Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
It's like Ogun. Watch your back and just do what you're supposed to. Take care of family and people you're close to.
Then they did their best. You go learn your own lesson. Everybody keep on searching for miraculous blessings. You go back for Lagos too. If you don't know yourself, you go lost too. If you get the money, you be blessed too. I'm a nobody, holy, no apostle. No.
Nobody go rest. Watch out for them hyenas. Watch out when you go. Watch out on the road. Watch out. They go tell you watch out when you go. Watch out on the road. Watch out for them hyenas. Watch out when you go. Watch out on the road. Watch out.
Hello, 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 people. Yes, we're back here again today. It's Posh Bees Couch. How are you? How are you? How are you? You know, I like to ask that question a lot of time when I say, how are you? Because I actually meant it. Because not everybody get to hear that word, how are you, all the time. And people don't actually mean it when they say it. But when I'm telling you, how are you, I actually meant it. How's your day been? How's your week been? It's been a week. We had a good time last week on my debut show, and I've got some good feedbacks and some very constructive criticism, which I love. And that's the whole point. We are opening ourselves, we are making ourselves vulnerable so we can get better. And that's the whole point of this show. So welcome to Posh Bees Couch. It's another episode. And I'm so happy today because I'm not alone. I'm not alone today. So I'm going to have one of my very close friends. And we're going to be rocking this show together today. I'm not going to introduce him yet. I will not. Let me just do my ranting first. And then when I go on a break, when I'm back, and I will give you the amazing person I have here for you today. So as I was saying, The whole point of us on this show is for us to be vulnerable, is for us to let it out, for us to actually take therapy as a daily life, like just the way we have GP, that's what I think therapy should be like, because we should be able to be express each other, tell us what you're going through. But obviously you can't say that to everybody. You have to be confident in them. And it's not a thing that it's well known with African people and the minority. And that's why I put it on myself to normalize therapy and make it a street one where we can all feel safe to talk about what we're going through and to seek for help, to carry each other along. And then, because our life is information. Life is information. So when I know something, someone else might not know it. And what I don't know, someone else knows. But when we get talking and I can be able to ask them, how, what is this? How is this going? And they can be able to share that thing with me. And from there, I'll be able to do better. From there, I'll be able to climb. We all need each other to climb. There's nobody that is a height and island. We all need each other. Just the way I'm on this show today now, and I have my very good friend, which will make it better. I was here alone last week, but now today I have someone with me, which is good. So I'm going to introduce him now. Then after that, we're going to go on a short break. And when I'm back, then we're going to go fully into the topic for today, which is, I'll tell you the topic. The topic today is actually a very, I think it's we need it. It's called toxicity in politics. We all know what politics is. And we have politics in Nigeria. We have it in the UK and everywhere in the world. Because my friend here is actually into politics. So I'm going to let us share the trauma, whatever it is, that politics are actually caused us to be going through, or we've gone through, or we'll be going through. And that is the topic today. So, and my friend's name is no any other person than Mr. Michael Larry Toluhi. He will correct me if I'm wrong. Toluhi, Michael Larry Toluhi. We call him MLT. It's a business analyst, a very good one for that matter, with Wera Council. And he specializes in service improvement. He's have a loads of experiences in transformation projects. He's a merger. He's a stakeholder. I can't read all this CV because it's too much for me. So, but when I'm back, he's going to tell us more about himself. So we're going to take a short break. And the song we'll be listening to is Casanova by Mr. Easy. And I'll see you in a minute.
I know because I know that. Never does. But I like woman too much. Why you they tell me it's over?
Why?
When it be only touch a touch. True to God, I'm trying for you. But it's so hard to do, like I know fit to change it tattoo. Just in one day or two, yeah, I get it plenty love you. We supposed carry all of you. I say me, I get it plenty love you. We supposed carry all of you. Why you they tell me it's over? Yeah, the text this girl too much. Oh yeah, what be your matter? Say it's my love ain't not enough. You be my woman, and she said she be my woman. You already know, no. Me, I be your jukokoro. True to God, I'm trying for you. But it's so hard to do, like I know fit to change in tattoo. Just in one day or two, yeah, I get it plenty loving. We supposed carry all of you. I say me, I get it plenty loving. We supposed carry all of you.
Into is Casanova by Mr. Easy. And you know what? I feel like politics is like a Casanova. Because they give you different vibes, they give you different information, you know. I feel like they play us sometimes. Anyway, I won't talk about that. I will let someone else tell me more about that. So, welcome to the show, Mr. MLT.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mr. Porsche.
Yes, that's me.
It's a great honor being here and a privilege to be part of this community.
Yeah, good evening everyone, like Mr. Toile just said. So, Mr. Toile, I'm just going to start with my normal question that I ask everyone. How are you?
I'm fine, I'm good, I'm great.
And when I say how are you, do you know what I mean by how are you?
I think I have an idea. You want to know how I'm doing mentally,
yes.
Physically, psychologically.
That's right.
And that's why I say I'm good, I'm perfect.
I'm glad to hear that. So tell us about yourself, at least for a start, so people can actually know who is actually engaging with. Because like I said, on this show, we are vulnerable. We want to know each other. We want you to carry us along. Tell us, who are you?
Okay. Like I said, I'm Larry Tolihi. I'm known as MLT in my circle. And I'm just a young man. A married man, happily married.
Wow, and, that's good to hear that.
A child of God, a lover of God.
That's good.
I'm just a normal young man you see out there that just wants to do, that want to do right by everyone, and that want to do his best to make society better.
Mm-hmm.
And that when he's meeting his Creator, wants to give a good account of what he's done on earth. And I'm a youth enthusiast, someone that believes that youth needs to be involved and needs to be empowered. And someone that understands the dynamic of power, knowing that power isn't given,
power is taken.
And when power is taken, how do you take power? The fact that you have to take power doesn't mean you have to take power in an occult way or in a very funny way. And someone that believes in integrity, someone that believes in dignity, someone that believes in wise you work hard, wise you work smart. At the same time, so you need to understand the God factor in it, and when you do all these things and do things in the right way, and ensuring that you can't sit on the other side and complain if you want something, if you want a system, want society to be better. Someone that believes in, okay, you want this to be better, you need to get involved in
I
it.
I love that.
And don't at the same time think, don't think something is dirty. Nothing is dirty, because something will be dirty because the right people are not in it.
That's right.
So once you go in there, you can now be part of it, to be part of the change. And that informed me in my, even when I was picking my career, you know, I started up having my undergrad in computer science, have a master's in information technology, have another one in data science. And for about 10 years of my life in professional life, I've had different careers from the bank, from digital transmission to banking to charity organization, then moving into a lot of things and doing all these things I've done. I had to work data all my life. I'm a data scientist, I'm a data miner, I'm a data scientist, because of the part of the things I feel was what I feel we all need to be part of society, making society better. That was why I left banking, go into the charity work in the charity organization where I was a data analyst and managed data in a lot of places, because I believe in data integrity, because I believe in nothing is dirty. Get your hands in it, get involved in it, ensure it become. And when I left it, I moved in as a business president, as a business analyst, being that for a long while now, for years now. And it's because I just want to be part of a system to improve. I believe in improving a system. I don't believe in just sitting down complaining and whining. Get involved, contribute your quota, giving your best into. That is the person I am.
Wow. That is amazing. I feel like I'm renewing you again, which is beautiful, even though I know you. But it's good to hear things. And this is actually why I created this space, because My career as a therapist was a controversial one among the family, among my friends, because they're thinking, like, why therapy? I'm from an IT background also. I did the engineering, then I did information system. Then I found myself. So and I've been doing this, and I'm like, I need to reach out. People should know more. People know Posh P, but they don't know who Posh P is. And now I have created this platform so people can actually know me better, and they know that we try to change the mentality of years, what our forefathers have created for a long time ago. So if you can't create that alone, you need people, you need a community. So the change will start little by little. And that is why we're here too. So I'm so happy to hear all this. Oh, this is good stuff here on here today. I'm sure you guys are also enjoying how this is going so far. So I'm going to ask my next question. Tell us what it's like growing up in Nigeria. What are the trauma that stand out for you?
Growing up in Nigeria for me was what was kind of fun, and I would say I'm a proud Nigerian anywhere. Like, and being born in Nigeria, growing up in Nigeria, for someone like me, I had a lot of opportunity actually to leave Nigeria at a very tender age, and I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't leave. And it actually, because being a last born in my house, I had opportunity to have my older siblings way older than me, and they wanted me to leave, and I wouldn't leave even when I was done with my secondary school. I wouldn't leave, and got into school, and they kept on saying, look, you need to leave, and I wouldn't leave. And when, you know, our God is an awesome God.
Yes.
And even the wife I married, when I wanted to marry her, she was not based in Nigeria. Funny enough, we met when she came home, and she came back, and it affected our relationship because she felt, look, you had to leave. And I said, I was going to leave because I had no reason to want to leave Nigeria. I believe in leave Nigeria, go for your holidays, then come back to Nigeria.
Yeah,
because,
yeah.
Like I said, I'm a proud Nigerian. And my wife doesn't understand. Until we were able to get to a compromise, and she came back home, we married, and we told her, okay, we had to stay back in Nigeria. But after a while, some things happened. We said, okay, look, it is time to leave. So for me, trauma, yeah, I wouldn't say there is trauma. I think what we have in Nigeria is, for trauma, I wouldn't say there's trauma, because what we have in Nigeria, for me, it's a country with a lot of deposit, and we have the human problem where we couldn't manage our deposit. We don't know. We have them in excess. There's no need for us to think outside the box.
Right.
We have the ability to think outside the box, but we have decided not to activate those abilities. You know, when you go to Israel and you see the amount or the number or the quality of agricultural produce coming from Israel, and if you've been to Israel, you know it's a rocky terrain. They were forced to think outside the box to grow to do agriculture.
Right.
But in Nigeria, look, you're in Nigeria, you know what I'm saying? You could eat your corn, a roasted corn, and you throw it somewhere in Nigeria. If it is not swept or taken away, you come back there 2 weeks' time.
But then there's two coins to that. Some people don't have that, even that corn, they don't have it.
No, what I'm saying is that Nigeria is so blessed in terms of human, natural resources.
Absolutely.
Endeavor, everything we have it, and well, we don't know how to manage them. I'm just saying that someone like Israel could do that. In someone like Russia, in someone like Poland, they could plant potato and do that even when they have a cold region and that is meant to be a tropical plantation. But they were able to do the greenhouse and do that. They've had challenges and they could think outside the box to cope.
Right.
But in Nigeria, we've not had those challenges. So we're not taking outside the box. Until recent years, our challenges are becoming glaring.
Right.
So because our challenges are becoming glaring now.
So what we call trauma now, we don't see as trauma before, basically.
Yeah, we don't see them as trauma then. But because it's now becoming challenges. What will happen is, in years to come, Nigeria will now have to understand that, Nigerians will now need to know that things, there are ways we can come out of this and manage this. We now start to know that, okay, what is our problem? And our problem is, a lot will say it's bad leadership. For some of us, someone like me, I've always felt it is bad followership that we have.
Yeah, we're coming to that. We're not there yet. We're coming to that one. So I'm going to stay on Because I feel like part of my trauma growing up in Nigeria, when I didn't know there's a trauma actually, until you came here, and then you see the system, and you're like, oh my God, so I've been abused all this while. But meanwhile, it was a norm back then, because you don't know.
No, sorry, sir, but were you really abused? You see, we need to understand that it's a culture. There's a cultural aspect to it, because there are some things you would do here, and if you do to somebody that is based in Nigeria, fully based in Nigeria, raised in Nigeria, a Nigerian person, the person might see it as an abused. So I think it's a cultural thing. Yeah, there might be excess.
That's the word.
There might be excess. Yeah, they might, but we might be, but when we look at it, that is our culture. We don't let us forget that there's, yeah, look, not that we didn't go through trauma. Like I said, I wouldn't say we didn't go through trauma.
Oh, yes.
We had those trauma, but you can see an average Nigerian. If my wife was telling me one day, Nigerians, we are angry by nature because we've suppressed a trauma,
and I just totally agree.
Reason to little thing you want to ventilate and all that. Yes, but I think it's not because we are open to the world. We're not saying, okay, this is, it can be done better. It can be done better.
That's good. That's exactly what I'm trying to point out, because a lot of people have gone through certain things, like me, for example, and until you, like, and that's what I said earlier, information. What you don't know, you don't know. And then when you know, you'll be like, oh, wow. And that's where you get the information. Sure. And so there's some things that I've gone through. Like, my mom sent me a list of some certain funny things, but it was funny now, but it wasn't funny then. And she was laughing. Like, if you're looking at elder direct face to face, you get beaten for that.
Yeah. You're being rude.
And meanwhile, here, you need to look at them face to face. That's cultural thing. But at the same time, it can be an abuse. So it's just where to get the line between culture and abuse. It can be thin, and it can also be big. And that's,
no, it is thin and invisible in a way, but we must find a way to, this imaginary line, we must find a way to get it. You see, like what you're just talking about, looking at, I think we had that conversation. Funny enough, my wife and I had that conversation. We're coming up, we walked to a grocery store, we're walking back this afternoon, and then we're talking, and she said, you're not looking at my eyes. And I said, look, as a Yoruba man, we hardly look at people's eyes. It's not that you're being rude or you're being,
it's smart. Actually a sign of respect.
It's a sign of respect that we hardly, an average Yoruba guy brought up as in Yoruba, we might not look at your eye, might not look up to look straight out your eyes. Not because he wants to, he or she wants to disrespect you. It's just because that is the way we've been brought up. And I remember I went to university in the eastern part of Nigeria, and being a Yoruba man, grew up in the north and all that, and I went to a friend's house, and I ate. They gave me food, I ate. And I went to a friend's house.
That's a wrong move.
No, so I ate, and when I was done eating, because we were closed down, my friend, I was expecting the mom and them to tell me thank you as a Yoruba person, because when you go to a person's house in Yoruba land, and they offer you something, and you are gracious enough, because to us, you are gracious enough to eat it. They should tell you thank you, thank you for eating it with love.
That's right.
And the woman that cooked the food was looking at me to tell her, for me to tell her thank you. I was looking at her to tell me thank you. So she voiced out and said, hey, young man, because you know the normal African person, everybody will train you.
Well,
young man, you can't just say thank you. And I said, look, I was expecting you to tell me thank you. And I said, wow. And I said, because I ate your food, you should tell me thank you, because I could have said, no, I'm not eating. She now said, no, in their culture, you tell them
thank you
for making the food. So that is just even the small Nigerian, the small African thing. We're having cultures to crash. And here too, obviously, when you eat here, you tell somebody thank you, even tell your wife thank you. But you see an African man, when his wife finished cooking and he eats and is going to cross his leg and do that. And now, if the lady is now seeing that he's being abusive or not, that it might not be, it might just be a cultural thing. And I think what we need to do is get to a place where we learn,
unlearn and relearn and
all that. And I think it will help us understand that, because so that's why when you use the word, what was my trauma, not I don't have them, I really don't want to use them, because for me I might understand it, for you might understand it, but because we know that we're in a community where we have a lot of jungle runs, that we want them to see, understand our culture too, because we need them to understand our culture in as much as a part of this society, a part of the Western society, but we have a root and want them to understand what the root is all about. We might be careful the words we use.
Thank you. Wow, that's really insightful. That's really insightful. Right, guys, we're going to take another short break. And the song you'll be listening to now is Ila by Fola. And I'll be back in a sec.
Wala, wala. Oh, yeah, my partner, partner.
Love the world.
They give me just one minute before we conclude. But she my me cool, will it back, babe? Mama, I love Timbuktu. I'ma kiss more juke on my mock, babe. She see us day, she jelly bays, aya. You are shiny ways, aya. I'm with a cash in prom, so when I'm done, one emo, so babe. Tell everybody, oh, give you a sample, you're the one you touch my body. Oh, no. You're my healer. I believe in love, steady giving me love. Original, to the back of you, a vigilant. Baby, you're my reading, but no feel like to buy the baby, I'm a girl. It's you that I crave for. Go to our things I could do, hear everything go well. No, be mine. Nigga, Monico Sija, Anigba Kuba, only lock up. Where you go, man, do me vanilla. She get all the things I like, oh, she live on show. Oh, I'm a boy, sir. Baby, tell me, so it's now or never. I know for not the trauma. So, mommy, can't share it ever. Tell everybody, oh, give you a Samuel, you're the one you touch my body. Oh, no. You're my healer, lonely. I believe in love, dance. Steady giving me love. More original. To the back of you, a vigilant. Baby, you're my reading, but no feel like to buy the baby. I'm a girl. It's you that I crave for. Don't you worry. Things I could do, hear everything go well. No, be mine. Me before we conclude, but she my me cool, will it back, babe? Mama, I love Timbuktu. I'ma kiss more juke on my mock, babe. She see us day, jelly bays, aya.
Hello, welcome back, people. Welcome back. Yeah, the song right there is Ila by Fola. And what I like about that song is the title. It's a healer. And that's your point of being on this show. That's the purpose of this show. So we can all heal, we can all get better, we can all take the next step to fulfillment in life. Right, my next question for you, Mr. Toluhi, is you are a renowned commentary politician, that I know. Tell us the toxicity around politics and how it affects us mentally.
Yeah, sorry, I think I need to correct you. I'm not a commentary politician. I am a politician.
You're a politician.
And
okay.
I'm a political strategist. So, that's why I run the commentary, because I'm a strategist and I analyze politics, and I do that as well. I've done that for about 2 decades now.
Oh, that's a long
running
time.
Political analysis and doing that. And you see, the toxicity in politics, look, politics is naturally not toxic. But people think it is. Right. Because politics is a game of ideology. The right politics is a game of ideology, is a game of alignment, realignment, and an interest.
Is that from your own point of view or in general?
In general, that's what politics is all about. But, you know, people, because there are individual differences.
Okay.
And because there are cultural differences at the same time too.
Absolutely.
And all that, because when you look at it, what is politics all about? You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Politics is about alignment, so making something better, an alignment of different views to ensure that it is a better or a common goal.
That's right. Right.
And so when, once you are trying to do that, so a lot of people see it as toxic. And the fact that I have an idea and my idea isn't the same with yours,
mm-hmm.
in how some certain things should be done in our society, whether at the local level or at the central level or at global level, doesn't mean we are enemies. It doesn't mean we are not meant to be friends. Mm-hmm. It's just our ideas are different. I've had friends when I used to be a partisan politician that had different parties, and we're cool. We'll sit down together, we'll do a lot of things together. I've had friends that siblings mm-hmm. of the same parents, mm-hmm. both parents,
mm-hmm.
run against each other in political offices. And they're siblings, and they come home, they sit down, they eat from the same plate. They even married, and their wife had their children. They have their children in different.
Yeah, but don't you see any toxicity in that? Because it's controversial.
No, it's not. It shows that Poshp, you believe in the ways of conservative, or you believe in the ways of Labour.
Mm-hmm.
You are a far right believer, I'm a far left believer.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't stop us from being friends. It's about ideology on how governance is being chalked out.
But we're going to have a common goal.
The common goal is, if you are a true politician, because we know we have people that are not true politicians nowadays.
Which is the majority.
Yeah, majority. They are not true politicians. They are just there for the fact of whatever they think they will gain. Exactly. But a true politician wants a common goal, which is to give better life, which is to give better policies for the citizen, common, for the citizenry, for the common man, and get out there. And now, because these people are not doing it that way, that's why it has been toxic. People are coming in, they worry, I must get it by force. We can mm-hmm. see what's happening in the motherland, mm-hmm. where we see what is happening in motherland, and we see all that. Absolutely. Because they don't mean well for the masses. It's only few of them that are actually in there for the people. That, so once you are there for yourself, it's mm-hmm. not a matter of greed, it's not a matter of self. And when it is self, it will be toxic, because all you're thinking of is, it has to be me. You're not thinking of us, you're not thinking of the people, you're thinking of me. And when me, and when you go me, the greed comes in, and when there is greed, there's going to be toxicity, and that is what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why we've seen it look as if the toxicity in politics. But a real politician, a true politician that actually meant well for the people, who don't do things. And that what brought into what we're saying when you say, look, I should pause. Mm. Talking about the followership and the leadership.
Yes.
And that is where the problem is. Because in the followership, especially from where we're coming from motherland, when you say in the followership, push B, once someone think or some people from your locality feels, oh, this young man has been doing one or two things, or this young lady is doing one or two things somewhere and is doing this, they feel you have a political interest. And the political interest they feel you have, they all know that, oh, 2027 is gone, nothing's happened in 2027, so anything that he or she wants to do will be 2031, right?
Oh, okay.
2031. From now, they start giving you a lot of billions. They tell you they want to do a birthday, child's birthday, not even first birthday, not fifth birthday, mm-hmm. not tenth birthday. They'll tell you the child's second birthday, child's fourth birthday. They make you pay bills on a monthly basis. Because
they're trying to collect from you earlier.
Exactly.
Because they know you will collect back in the future.
No. They are making you collect back in the future. Because even if you don't have an idea of wanting to collect, because you don't know.
Okay.
Let's tell ourselves.
Okay, tell me more. Yeah. Tell me more.
You are based in the UK.
Mm.
You've been in the UK for a long time. So whatever thing you want to do, if your resources that you want to go prosecute an election or a political post in Nigeria, I can tell you, if not 100%, 90% will be coming from the UK.
Mm.
Because that's where you're based. That's where you're absolutely. That's absolutely. Where your base is. And now, they make you... Now, maybe because you have an idea, they know you are good.
Mm-hmm.
They know you are good. And mind you, the leaders of today, were followers yesterday.
Absolutely.
So, because they were followers, that's why I had issues with followers, not leadership. Now, so the followers will come in and tell you, they make you pay for all kind of things. Before you know, on a monthly basis, you're probably spending an average of 10 million, which is an average of 10 to 20 million, which is an average of between 5,000 to 10,000 pounds monthly basis. You do that monthly for the next 5 years or 6 years because you're thinking of 2031.
Wow.
When you do that, that is when before the primaries now come.
Then definitely there's debt.
There's debt because you probably had gone into loans, probably remortgaged some of your property and all that. So once you get there, ideally, what do you want to do? And maybe you're going for House of Rep, or you're going for Senate, or you're going for governor, or you want to be a governor, awesome. So once you get there, if you're able to get there, the first thing you want to do, because you are paying a lot of interest,
you want to start collecting back.
You're paying a lot of, your APR is high. So what you want to do is you want to get some funds to offset the bills, to offset, probably pay off all the loans you've had.
Wow.
Now, once you've done that, you want to now get some funds. You want to loot. You want to find a way to get some funds because you want to go for second term. And after your second term, probably want to be a president. You want to go for a higher office.
Position,
and you don't want to be in that position where you have to go borrow again.
So you want to make more.
So once the followers stop doing that, and they just allow the best to come in, and they just want to ask. You see, it's only in where we're coming from in motherland that you go for a campaign rally and nobody's actually telling you anything.
Yeah.
At least here, when you see people come, they tell you their manifesto, they debate their manifesto, they ask questions. Yeah. How many people ask, look, how many of the rallies you've seen in Nigeria that you've seen, or in anywhere in Africa, you've seen them debate?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or you go to rally, you go for a campaign rally that is 3 hours. You do 3 hours, 4 hours. What is it? They bring in the best musicians.
Mm-hmm.
They bring
it's
in.
Like an entertainment show.
And yes, it's always a show. It's always a jamboree. Mm-hmm. And when they do that, after 3 hours, they do jamboree for 1.5 hours. They use 1 hour to insult their opponents. All they do is insult. They insult. They don't tell you what they're going to do. And in the next, so they've used 2.5 hours. So the 30 minutes, they used to welcome the dignitaries, and they use 1 out of the 30 minutes. So the next 10 minutes, they just tell you an idea of what they want to do, which are not visible. A man is telling you, I'm going to create in an economy that is already down. Let's in an economy that's already facing kind of difficulty, that's facing a lot of hardship and is not a lot of uncertainty. I tell you, we're going to create 10 million jobs on a monthly basis. They're not even going to tell you how they're going to create the 10 million jobs. And they clap and they go. You expect the followers to ask questions. Okay, you want to create a 10 million job? Yes, it's possible. How? That's when somebody's going to tell you, okay, a genuine politician, a sincere politician should be able to tell you, okay, I want to create 10 million jobs, which is possible.
I want
to create it. I want, out of the 10 million jobs, I want 5 million to be farmers. And okay, I do want to do this 5 million to be farmers because I want to give you a 1 million hectares of land. It's possible. How do you want to do 1 million? I want to mechanize it. How do you want to mechanize it? Oh, I want to talk to China. I want to talk to Israel. I want to talk to someone. I want to talk to the bank.
There should always be questions.
There should be build up to that 10 million. Mm-hmm. So that 10 million is not just going to come in. But we don't do that. All we want to do is we want to dance. And that is one of the things. People, the followers are not asking the questions. So the said leaders or the said politicians do all they do. That's why it's a little bit toxic. And that is why, because it's personal for them. And it's got to be personal because you can't be spending an average of 5,000 to 10,000 pounds on a monthly basis for the past 4 years or for the past 3 years and not want to make it personal. You want to, because you want to get that power. You want that power. You want it because you need to get there to make your money, to make whatever you want to make, to make it done. And because you want it done, you're not going to relax. You're not going to let anything stop you from getting what you want to get. So that is what the problem is.
How do you think this affects us mentally as individuals, as a society?
It affects us mentally because, you see, just like you were saying, I told you I'm a diehard Nigerian that never wanted to leave Nigeria, right? And it was going to cost me my relationship with my wife today. Because I believed never to leave Nigeria. And all of a sudden, I picked up my bag and I said, I'm leaving. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people had to leave Africa and all that. It's affecting us mentally because mm-hmm. you could see yourself, what you know, your potential has not been recognized.
You can't see the future.
You can't see the future. Mm. You were told that you're going to be the leader of tomorrow.
And here we are in our 40s. 30,
40 years. Yeah, we are still going to be leader of tomorrow. The leader is still not there. Now, and these
the leaders
guys,
there are still there.
And these guys that are there, we're there in the early 30s, some mm-hmm. in the late 20s.
Absolutely.
Right, and they just wouldn't go. And they wouldn't go, that is one. So there's no room for development. You know, there should be a structure that grow leadership. You see, in the UK here, we all know that when conservatives were there, when they had who they had, we knew how the leadership was going to go. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And when Rishinak left, we had 3-4 people that contested because mm-hmm. the system had propped them up mm-hmm. in Labour, Kestama, and those. Yeah, if Kestama is giving, we know the people that we have those 3-4 people. We know Nigel Farage, we know the people. Mm-hmm. Now, in the US, so you have them in Democrats, you know them.
Absolutely.
We know that there is a senator in New Jersey mm-hmm. that seems to be the star boy of Democrat, man, that might be the guy to take over the leadership of Democrats after Obama is gone. And in Republicans, you know, there are some people that are already there. You know, tell me who in Africa that you can see any leadership structure in Africa. So it gives you, as a young person, it's not giving you that there is hope for you. That is time of political standing. Mm. In time of financial standing, you can't even make your planning. You can't mm-hmm. make your planning because
right.
you make your planning, you are not sure of the system making your planning work. You have worked hard, you have worked well. It's that bad that even when you work in private sector, you cannot guarantee your promotion. You cannot say you get promoted. You come out with a good result. You go to school, you study hard, you've been diligent in your studies, you have good grades, and you're not sure of getting a job.
Mm-hmm.
You're out there for years not getting a job. And when you see job advertorial, they're going to tell you they want you with 7 years experience, and they want you to be 28. They want you to be 27. And you can't even leave university mm-hmm. in Africa until... No matter how smart you are,
need 20s at
except
least.
Except recently that we can see them, and because people
private
because
that's
the private
also.
University. But when and look, yeah, and I mean, people can afford the private
it
university.
Costs my
so
lot,
if you
my
go
lot.
To a federal university, even when you enter a federal university at the age of 16, 17, and for a 4-year course, there's a chance you might not leave yet there on the
next
8 years. Do you get what I'm mm-hmm. saying? And this same set of guys will tell you they want you to have 8 years experience and they want you to be 25 years. To come in, you know, so they make it all little, and even the good ones, you see advertorial for job. I remember those days when I was looking when I left university, you know, and I was opportune to do something, and people were looking for job. The job people were looking for, some people had started it. The advertorial was out, but people had already gone for the job. Had started about 3 months before the advertorial was out, and people went for all the screening. Right, by the time we're done with the screening, those people had actually worked for about 6 months.
You can see how this, because it's the reason why I call it toxic, because I've seen Nigerian politics. Even in UK, they have their own, but at least there's still a structure, like you said, compared to the one that we have back in my... And it's really, really affect us mentally. It put people in a traumatic situation. It gives them depression. That's every sort of... You can think of people are going through a lot in Nigeria. People say, oh, because the most important thing in life is, like, hierarchy of Maslow. You need to have your food. When you have shelter... You have your shelter, you have food, you have basic things. Your life is at least starting. But so a lot of people back home don't even have that. So how can you think? How can you create? And that's the situation where we find ourselves, most of ourselves, back in Nigeria and even here.
Yeah.
And that's it's hard because as a man, I mean as a woman also, but not just men, how do you explain this to people and in your 30s, you don't have a plan for your life? And the next thing you want to get married. Mm. Now you're going to get married to someone who doesn't have a purpose also. And then you pass down the poverty. And then it becomes a recycle.
Mm.
And that's the cycle we need to break. Oh, wow. This has been very, very insightful. I hope you guys are actually enjoying this show. And you're actually... I think Mr. Tuli has a lot to tell us. And I'm definitely going to bring him back on the show again
one more again, and then we can discuss more about this actually very good topic. It's a very good topic.
Yeah, it is. It is a good one.
It's very interesting. I like, I don't know what you've just told me today about the followership. I'm one of the people that think it's from the top, but now I can see another angle. I mean, I'm sure the top also has a thing to do. We can explore another day.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm glad we can, because we have to check the foundation before you can go to the top. Cool. And I agree on that. So we in followership actually have a work to do. And that's the perspective of what I've actually learned today, and I'm happy about that. Right. It's been a long one right now. So guys, let's take a short break. Let's hear a song by Asake called Mugbe. And when I'm back, we're gonna start. I've got two segments. It's rant time. You're gonna rant whatever you feel like you wanna rant about. I'll start with Mr. Toluhi here. I have my own ranting also. And then we're gonna go into the word on the streets for the week, and then we'll round up. So we've got two segments left. So let's go on this little break, and then when we're back, we'll dive into the next segment. Thank you. Welcome back people. Right, so this segment is rant of the week. If anyone have something they want to rant about, quickly put it on the comment section for me, and then I can read it, and then we can quickly digest it, and then we can probably find a solution for that. I think my rant of the week is I'm gonna use the politician one that we're talking about, and my rant of it is there's too much false hope, and that thing annoys me. Like, why do they always give a different manifesto? Even here, both either in politics as a whole, why is there always wrong or lies manifesto? Tell me, what do you think about that?
Manifesto is meant to be a roadmap or a planned work. What we want to do, this is how I want to do it. I guess it's not that they want to lie. Most problem is most politicians, you know, for those that play chess, we understand this, when you're outside the chessboard, you see some moves.
Right.
But when you're in the game, you don't see them.
Does that mean you're not smart enough?
No, not that
I don't play chess. I don't know chess.
I said, look. No, not that you're not smart. See, an average, most politicians, because they want power, just like what we're saying, just because they want power, they give you all kind of fine
plating. Exactly.
But because the people don't ask the right question, like I just said, you come and you tell us you want to increase, when I come on board, in my manifesto, I'm writing my manifesto, when I come on board, when you vote me as the mayor of Greater Manchester, when I come on board, I'm going to make sure that everybody is getting universal credit and of £10,000 on a monthly basis. And everybody is clapping. Why are you not asking me where am I going to get the funds?
Okay.
People should, that's what I'm saying. So look, you should have policy, because everybody is trying to outsmart. Look, the politicians bring in something, and the people want to outsmart the politicians too. Because that is the people's problem. It's the people's problem.
So we're talking about accountability here now.
Accountability. See, accountability. Yeah, the man that said, or the woman that said, like, I want to give you 10,000 on a monthly basis.
You need to ask him how.
Ask him how.
But probably, instead of we get excited.
Get excited. Ask how.
Hmm.
Because people want to hear. Because, and the people don't vote. People that tell them the truth too. When you come in and you tell them good thing, and you tell them what you want to do, how you want to do it, why you should do it. They see you as a demon. They demonize you.
I feel better now. I feel better because that thing annoys me all the time about politicians, because they always give us false hope. But now I think we have to take accountability where they tell us what they want to do, also by asking the right question. Yeah. Thank you. That sink well. I can dip that. Do you have anything to rant about?
Okay, my rant to be that people need to start. Why people just think that politicians are the only one that can fix the society. Right. The truth is that not only politicians that can fix society. Society was created to fix itself if the people do what is right.
Right.
And we need to understand that we must all join hands together in fixing our society. Wherever we find ourselves, whether in the UK, in the US, or in Nigeria, or any part of Africa,
we need to play our own beat.
We need to play our own beat by doing what we need to do, how we need to do it, and do it when we need to do it. Because if you don't do it, it's about time, man, when we do that. So we should not stop believing some set of people to fix it for us.
Wow, it's funny how my time is running already. I thought it's 1 hour, but I feel like we've only spent 10 minutes here. I was going to give us the word of the street for the week, which I'm going to be quick about. And maybe we can talk about this in the comment section, or people can send their response to this. And it's about Mr. Easy and Timmy after the last wedding. I've been seeing a lot of people saying it's classy, more than Davido's wedding. And people have the opinion that Davido's wedding is blasty and better because it's more noisy than Otedola's one. What do you think? Do you think, which one do you think is better? Or what's your opinion? Let me put it that way. What's your opinion?
You can't put noise and class in the same sentence. Something that's classy cannot be noisy.
Right. So what makes it better? What makes one better than the other?
Look, there are two individuals, two different couples,
right,
two different lifestyles,
mm-hmm,
two different approach, two different perspectives. So for me, I'm not the judge. They all know Timmy and Easy know what's good for them.
Absolutely.
Why Davido and Choma know what's good for
absolutely
them. They know what they want to achieve. Mm-hmm. The two couples want know what they want to achieve individually, and they went for it. And I think one of the problems they are having, and one of the problems that I'm seeing, is society. Is always the problem. The people
thank
are
you
the problem. These guys thank have you just gone to do their wedding, and people are coming to compare
it's
them.
It's crazy.
Why must everything be competitive?
You it see shouldn't that be.
The same thing when we're watching football. Some will not let you watch football because they want to see their team Ronaldo, their team Mercy. These two guys play
it's
good football.
That's what I think society are doing the most in everything. But yeah, it's an opinion, and I think everybody is right. Choma is right. Davido is right. Timmy is right. Everyone is. Do your own the way you want it to be and be happy. Anyway, I think that's where we're going to be dropping the show today. Follow me on IG, which is Posh P Therapy, Posh P the Therapist, or Posh P Couch. We have an Instagram for that. And then also on TikTok, it's Posh P Therapy. On that one, if you need to send me a message or anything, DM me or email me at hello@poshptherapy.com. And next week, we'll see you again. And I hope we're able to give you some little things to think about today. Thank you, Mr. Toili, for coming to this program today.
Thank you for having me.
You've really made my day. And I'm sure my listener also have learned one thing or the other through you today. And thank you, everyone at home, the studio. This is Radio Africana. You guys don't switch the dial. Stay here because we're going to continue with some music. My next music now is actually an old school music, which is Lagbaja Koko Bilo. That's a song that I'll be signing out with. And I hope you guys will tune in next week because we'll be back. Have a lovely week and God bless you.
Get on down.